Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director of Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Getting back to China. Bipartisan bill. This is amazing. 86 to 11. The bill was jointly sponsored by the Democrats and by the Republican senator from Indiana, who's a conservative. Stand up to China. Counter them on a variety of levels. One is geopolitically, their push into the South China Sea, creation of fake islands, and then demanding 200 miles of ownership of the waters around each of these fake islands, invading the territorial waters of the Philippines, of Vietnam, threatening, obviously, Japan and South Korea, but even starting to threaten Australia. Leaders of China have said that, and Taiwan, my gosh, Taiwan is about 100 miles from China, roughly the distance from Cuba to Florida, 90 miles, 100 miles. Taiwan is an island that's 10 miles from China, 10 miles from China. At sea, you can see, if you have a good horizon and good weather, you can see for 15 miles. They can see that island. You can see that island. So it's a precarious circumstance over there. China is starting to flex its muscles. It has, what, a billion, 1.5 billion people? And once they're a communist country, but once they permitted some kinds of capitalism, even a lot of it is authoritarian criminal capitalism like they have in Russia, but still, it unleashed a lot of potential. The other part of this bill addresses things like theft of technology. China would demand, before a company set up over there, they had to turn over all their trade secrets to the Chinese government, who then gave it to their domestic companies. If you didn't do that, you couldn't set up shop there, and therefore you lost a lot of customers. The United States didn't do enough to counter that. We don't do the same thing here. They don't observe patents. They simply infringe. They do whatever they want. What this bill also does is provides funding for security, cybersecurity, technological protection, technological stimulation. This is a preliminary bill. It's called the Endless Frontier Act. I like the name. Our frontiers are not bounded anywhere in the world or in space. It's an endless frontier. John F. Kennedy had the new frontier. This is the endless frontier. I think it's great. 86 to 11, nonpartisan. It's in the right direction. Ultimately, the idea is, you know, the Chinese people are our friends. The Asian people are our friends. We have many allies in Asia who are being threatened by the Chinese. Obviously, Japan, South Korea, and the Philippines, but even Vietnam, which had been our adversary in the past, is threatened by the Chinese. So there you have it. Stand by. Keep an eye on the one area of bipartisan agreement in the Senate that appears to be bearing fruit. Another thing that the Congress is voting on that may have bipartisan support is more security for Congress after various threats and the January 6th insurrection. One thing that hadn't occurred to me, but I'll tell you what my solution would be, and this is hard to believe, but almost every member of Congress gets death threats, Republican or Democratic, left or right, they get death threats. There are members of Congress who are veterans, military veterans. There's one who was an Army Ranger and did three tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he said he is deploying his reconnaissance skills. When he walks out, he observes everybody walking near him. Does he have a gun? Does he have a line of sight everywhere that he needs to in an airport? You know, this is sad that that has to happen. One of the things I've said many times in the show, I'm going to say it again. Death threats have got to be prosecuted. You know, it's sort of like, well, some, you know, Trump made a death threat against Hillary Clinton by saying that the Second Amendment people should take care of her and her bodyguard should be disarmed. you know, it's done obliquely, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. He should have been prosecuted for that. You make a death threat to a congressman or a senator or a governor, you should be arrested, put in jail. You can have bail, set a vigorous bail. If you're convicted, you should go to prison. Word has got to get out. I don't read about many prosecutions for death threats, but they're really toxic in a democracy. So what Congress is doing is voting on more security for Congress now out back in the home districts. You know, there's security in the Capitol now after January 6th, but these people have to go back to they're in their offices. They eventually have to go back to their apartments. They have to go to the airport in Washington, D.C. to fly home. They have to walk through the airport. They have to land in their home states. You know, and it may be, it may be L.A. and New York. It may be Montana and Wyoming or Alaska. You don't want security details for every member of Congress. It's expensive and it's intrusive. They have to be able to go around the state and shake hands at Labor Day picnics, bonfires, 4th of July, Memorial Day, meet people. You have to depend on the goodwill of the people. The leaders in Congress have fairly heavy security to speak with both parties. So Nancy Pelosi does and Kevin McCarthy does. Steny Hoyer does and Steve Scalise does. I think it's probably come to the point where Jim Clyburn and Elise Stefanik, those are the 1, 2, 3 in each chamber, have security. Obviously the president and the vice president and the cabinet. But it's a sad day that when it comes down to that, what, everybody in the government needs security? The mayor of Milwaukee has security. The governor has security. It's a sad, sad commentary, but that is what is happening. So at least it's bipartisan, even though that some of the security concerns are raised by some of the conduct of some of the Republican congressmen. The ones that gave tours of the Capitol just before the insurrection to show people where the offices were and all that. The story that came out of North Carolina, I found hard to believe. A guy in a car was accused of almost hitting Black Lives Matter protesters in Fayetteville, North Carolina on May 7th. He saw a Black Lives Matter protest, ran at him, was going to hit him somehow. He was deterred. You know who it was? A judge in the North Carolina Court of Appeals. That's quite a judiciary they got down there. You're a judge on the Court of Appeals. A Black Lives Matter case comes in front of you. You're supposed to be neutral. You're supposed to apply the law and the Constitution. Somebody goes, weren't you the guy in the car that tried to run us down? You know, enough's enough. Enough is enough. Anyway, a great show today. Coming to the end of the show. You have some great programming coming up. You have Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Krupp. You have Earl Ingram. Saturday, one of my favorite shows, Pizza Box Mike. Pizza Box Mike thinks outside the pizza box. Not to say. Pizza Box Mike has a lot to say. A lot of other great programming. Can't get into all of it, too long. So, Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off now, Matt Flynn Direct.